If you didn't win, and congratulations to the winners, if you didn't win, you can still buy tickets to hear from these amazing filmmakers. Please join me in a big round of thanks to the Holt Center for sponsoring tonight's film and donating these tickets. And now it's my privilege to introduce our two panel members. I should say that there were three panel members. Unfortunately, Madeline Cohen from Cascadia Wildlands was unable to attend. She sends her regrets. If you don't know about Cascadia Wildlands, check them out. They're really doing some amazing things. But we do have with us Sue Craig, is on the executive committee and is the program chair for Many Rivers Group of Sierra Club. The Many Rivers Group represents almost 3,000 Sierra Club members in Lane, Douglas, and Coos counties. Sierra Club is working tirelessly to protect wildlife and wild places, ensure clean air and water for all, and fight the devastating effects of climate change. Thanks for being here. Next up, Bonnie Olin is an advocate for the preservation of the Owyhee Canyon lands, an area known as the Grand Canyon of Oregon. She began her advocacy to preserve the Owyhee region with the publication of her book, The Owyhee River Journals, in 2012, after she fell in love with the area. She has a table out there. There's a beautiful photograph, and you can take a look at her book there. Currently, there is a movement to designate the Owyhee Canyon lands as a national monument, and she'll be telling us about that. Okay, thanks for being here, both of you. Sue, let's start with you. Can you please give us a brief overview of some of the projects that the Many Rivers Sierra Club is working on? There's a mic. You guys can share that one.
Okay, thank you. And thank you all for being here. You know, we're all in this same boat. And together, maybe we can do some of these really good things. One of the things that Sierra Club, on the whole, the national, is working on are the Owyhee lands also. That's one of their projects. So I will be excited to hear more about that. Closer to home, we're working on an area with many, many other groups called the Coast Divide Restoration Project, and it's really close to Eugene. If you go out Low Pass Road and on Highway 36, it's kind of up there. Bletchley Mountain Forest State Park is up there. BLM has about 1,000 acres around that area. Unfortunately, Weyerhaeuser has a little bit of it, and they've already clear-cut it. But we are pleased that there are other groups working with it, Oregon Parks and Recreation. And it's an interesting area. It's not huge, but it has some really incredible old trees. And evidently, they have found that there are some marbled murrelets nesting up there, which is absolutely incredible. How many of you know about marbled murrelets? Yeah. If you've seen them out on the coast, just think of them flying all the way over here to nests. That's really incredible. So we hope with all the work that we can do on this with all the different groups that we can find a way to make this a really lovely place for people to go hiking. And there's also one area of it that they're hoping to make accessible to people in wheelchairs. So those are some of the things that we are working on at the moment. And also, the Juniper Group for a long time was working up around Waldo Lake, trying to make it protected. But they have run into a problem because of the association that works with the Oregon Trail Alliance because they don't want any restrictions for mountain biking. And we feel there needs to be a really good balance there. So we're hoping we can still work on that. So that's some of what we're doing. Again, thank you. This film was incredible. It's hard to go on after that one.
Bonnie, I imagine some of us, as I, had never heard of the Ahwahnee Canyonlands. So tell us a few things about it. Where is it? And some of the things you're working on.
The Ahwahnee Canyonlands are located in southeast Oregon. It is conjoined by the three states of Idaho, Oregon, and Nevada, so it has a nickname, I Own Country. It's about 9 to 10 million acres of some of the most incredible sagebrush steppes and canyonlands in the United States. I like to share that these canyonlands are already suffering some of many of the same threats that that have been depicted in this movie. Jet overflights at 100 feet above the ground, the mining of lithium mines in the McDermott Caldera area, which is on the border of Oregon and Nevada, and population centers are very near the Ahwahnee. The Idahoans have discovered the Ahwahnee, and the Oregon piece of it is probably the most at risk from uncontrolled use in the area. So southeast Oregon, and I like to say that it's an area that you won't find yourself there on the way to anywhere else. So it's Oregon's Grand Canyon, and we have a wonderful opportunity. The Oregon Natural Desert Association has partners like the Sierra Club, the Great Old Broads for Wilderness, of which I'm also a member, getting a greater and older broad, I hope, as the years go by. And at any rate, it's a place I'd enjoy very much sharing more about with you.
Great. Okay, we're going to open it up for any questions you might have, Bonnie or Sue. We have a mic passer or two, and if you will please use the mic so that everybody can hear your question. Do we have any questions? There's a question.
Indigenous people.
Yeah, I'm having difficulty hearing the question.
Yeah, would you mind repeating it into the mic? So,
is it not working?
Yeah.
Well, technology. Grab the question.
Thank you so much. Can you please tell us about any involvement on any of the projects you're talking with Native Indigenous people?
It's a question for me?
Both of you.
Okay. The current effort for national monument status in the Ahwahnee area, they are working with the tribes, and one of the things that national monument status would include is some land returned to the indigenous communities. As I think of it too, one of the other advantages of monument, right now they're looking at they're asking the communities to look at a national monument based on Senator Wyden's original proposal, which now is Senate Bill 1980, easy number to remember. And the co-sponsor of that bill is Senator Merkley. And they were hoping to pattern that monument after that bill, which would be 1.25 million acres of canyon and upland steppe area. The advantage that the monument has over the bill is that the indigenous tribes outside of Oregon, so the senator doesn't think of the tribes in Nevada or in Idaho as part of his constituency, but they could have a say in a monument scenario where the president declares a monument. So this 1.25 proposal could grow. It could double in size, and the lands that are now proposed to return to the indigenous communities, that could change also.
Did you want to add anything to that?
I don't think I can add anything to that, except to say from my own personal experience, I am watching the indigenous people helping our causes enormously. And especially the thing that I love about it is a lot of them are becoming lawyers, and they really, that can just help us so much because of all the treaties and so on. And that we can't back up on.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Another question? We have one right here.
Partly triggered by the 400 helicopters, who has control over that airspace, and is the Oahe suffering from commercial flights or military flights or both or private? Or and then is there a mechanism to curb that anywhere?
In the state of Idaho, Mountain Air Force Base is very close to the Oahe Canyon lands in that area. And they currently have flyover privileges. There was pushback on that, and it can be curtailed if there's enough public outcry. And what they negotiated in the Idaho region was that they wouldn't have flyovers. I think it's only 2 months out of the year, and it's during the lambing season of the bighorn sheep. But I can tell you from personal experience in there that so it's military and supersonic, and when they come over the canyon rims at 100 feet above the land at the canyon level and hit the canyon, well, you don't hear them coming, me and my kayak, and it nearly startled me out of the kayak. And so part of the reason they are limiting their flyovers during this spring lambing season is because they can startle the sheep and other wildlife, abortions from some of the wildlife, and then startling on the cliff edges. And that'd be true with people, too. So in Oregon, the military proposed they wanted to expand their training area, and they proposed flying over the southern part of the Oahe in Oregon, and that extended from Three Forks to the Nevada border. It's an area that we spend a lot of time in, my husband and I do. Right now they are flying at 10,000 feet, and for an area that's known as the Big Quiet, it takes a long time to wait for the jets to, before they discontinue their military, their fighter practice. If you're trying to video in the area, it just really makes it very difficult. So I've written a lot of op-ed pieces on that score, and that's something that we, I don't know what the status is right now, but it finally got enough attention in Oregon. They were holding meetings, but they were only meetings in Idaho. And it wasn't until a group of people spoke up and said, this is impacting our state, and yet we have no say. So the pushback has to be public, raising your voice is a good thing. So I think the last line in one of my op-ed pieces was, you know, if we don't prevent these jets from going into this canyon, we can kiss the big quiet goodbye.
There's a question there.
Thank you so much for coming. I have a question about the lithium and the mining and how much area is involved in that, and also why, as a Eugene person living, why haven't I heard about this, and why don't we have it in our, just in our local newspaper, so that we can do something about this?
Okay. In terms of the scope of the lithium mining, I would be guessing, so I can't speak to particulars about that, but it's huge. I can tell you that they what's written is that it's some of the biggest lithium deposits in the United States. The reason we haven't heard about it very much is because, A, we no longer have a daily newspaper with an opinion page. And when, with the decline of the Register Guard, I'm sure, you know, I'm not alone that there are many individuals who felt they lost their voice, an opportunity to bring things that aren't maybe readily picked up by AP, that are more local being statewide, to the attention of the public. What radio station was it?
KEPW.
Okay.
I can give you some information, contact information.
And I would imagine KLCC might be another good one. Yeah. Thank you for that idea.
KEPW is 93.7, sound correct?
97.3.
Okay, that's probably it.
97.3. Thank you. Another question?
I might have missed this, but on the Ioane, can you tell us what are the significant species there, both in plants and animal habitat, and how they might be threatened by any of these, what threats they're facing?
Sure. What threats do, and what species are endemic to the area? Pygmy rabbit is one. The sage grouse, the Owyhee sageland steppes present some of the best remaining habitat in the lower 48 states, and it's the most intact habitat in the lower 48. When I grew up here, and we often went over to the Oregon desert. My parents hunted, my brothers hunted, and we spent a lot of time in the area. And I'm guilty, like a lot of locals often are, that we don't know what we have. And it wasn't until I became involved in learning more about the Owyhee region that I learned that our sagebrush steppes is a biome that exists nowhere else on the planet. And so we do have, you know, animals that are dependent on this particular landscape. There are 30 plants that are endemic to the Owyhee region. It is some of the best habitat, the rivers with the cold springs in some areas, for the red band trout. And they're a unique desert trout that have evolved over millennium to survive in these environments. So yeah, it's a very, very special place, and there are many animals that are, and plants, that are dependent on this ecosystem.
Any other questions? I think I'd like to wrap up then. And what I would like to do is, I know that there are people in the audience who have probably been moved both by the film and by the causes that you are all working on. And I'm wondering if you could tell us how people might get involved, what would be the steps, how could they support what it is that you're doing?
Well, I think you just gave some really good bills and so on, and to write your Wyden and Merkley. Is Benson back of this at all?
Representative Cliff Benz?
Yeah.
No. Let me just say. The Owyhee region is in Malheur County, one of the largest counties in Oregon, and Representative Cliff Benz is not a supporter of this region. But I've done a little bit of individual citizen advocacy. They call it when you are a single person and you go to and make an appointment to go to senator or representative's office and speak to them about an issue. And I had the privilege of meeting with Representative Benz when he was a senator for the state of Oregon, not a federal senator, but for the state. And he is, his interest is mining. And when he feels that the Owyhee is already overprotected and that there are many layers of protection for the Owyhee, but really out of this, what, 9 or 10 million acres that I mentioned, only 5% of the region is really protected. So no, we don't have his support. That was a long answer.
Well, one of the things we can all do is be aware. As you say, it's hard to find out a lot of this stuff. And let your representatives know about it, everybody everywhere. And when I have gone, this is really bad, but at the state level, when I go to see my state rep and senator, I do drop by their office, but they are always very supportive of everything I want to do because they're in Eugene, representing us here. So I often go to people like Benz when he was up there and talk to them and let them know that this is a statewide issue and it's very, very important to all of us. So that's one of the things I do. And we still have the Eugene Weekly, which is definitely putting things in. And as you say, if we get more involved with our radio stations, that's great. That's a really good idea. And then we can all get rid of our lawns and put in native plants, which Sierra Club's just had their native plant sale. So next year at this time, they're bare root, and we would love you to take them, to buy them from us. And this will help. One of the books I just read is so cool. It says, get rid of the lawns and put in native plants and help reestablish all the seeding and all the things that go on for the birds and the bees and the animals that used to live on all our native things. And this will make the largest natural wilderness in the country.
I second the motion to get involved. I think something that's probably very gratifying is to find out that your representatives are really interested in what you have to say and what you think. I've also been very impressed with their aides, how knowledgeable many of the people are. And some of your representatives won't know anything about your particular issue, and they'll appreciate hearing about it. I think the letters to the editor, you know, that's something I need to do to start writing to Eugene Weekly, but also to state papers, and just not to be afraid to approach people that look like, you know, that maybe they look super important or you're a little bit fearful, but the more you do it, the easier it becomes. And I think you're also very rewarded from the experience.
And Bonnie, is there a petition?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I need those little reminders. Out at the table, out there, we have a petition, one of those QR squares. You can take your phone and put it over the square, and where it will lead you is it'll bring up the website for ONDA's Protect the Owyhee. There's an effort to take quite a stack of petition signers to Washington, D.C. in April. And if this is a cause you support, we'd love to have you sign it. If you're unsure or uncertain or want to know more about it, there's some flyers out at the table that tell you more about the creation of a national monument. And there's a QR code on the backs of one of them as well. And I think ONDA's website is there.
What does ONDA stand for?
ONDA stands for, O-N-D-A is the Oregon Natural Desert Association.
Great. That's all we have time for. Let's let our panel members know how much we appreciate their great work. We hope to see you on April 18th. You can learn more and join our mailing list at encirclefilms.org. Thanks very much for being here.